All right, if you would turn to chapter 10 of the book of Daniel, we're going to be continuing our study in the book of Daniel. And we're going to see that chapter 10 is one of those rare places in Scripture where the Lord reveals to us that which takes place beyond our vision. You know, there is more things beyond our vision than there is in our vision. Faith tells us that. And in this chapter of the book of Daniel is one of those rare places of Scripture. You know, we're so attached to this life. We're so attached to the things that we can see and taste, touch, and hear and feel that we forget that that which is beyond our vision is that which preceded our vision. Now, I speak of the Trinity of God that always is. I also speak of the earlier creation of God, the creation of God that preceded our beginning, that is the creation of the angels of God. Now, God has not given us an abundance of information about heaven or about angels, but He's given us glimpses in Scripture that open up to us heavenly views. We see them sprinkled throughout the Scriptures. They're not long passages, but they're little tidbits of information that opens up the doors of things beyond our vision. When we read Scripture, we know that Elijah was taken up by a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. That was one glimpse. And Luke records that Lazarus, the beggar, was carried up by the angels to Abraham's bosom. You know, that's a delightful picture to me, because you wonder sometimes what happens when your heart beats its last beat. Well, according to this, the angels are there to carry you to the Lord. They did it for Lazarus. They carried him to Abraham's bosom. And I think that the angels are there to carry us to the Lord, for absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And heaven's forces are also revealed to us in the account where the veil covering our eyes from God's realm was lifted when Israel was at war with Syria. Remember that passage in the Old Testament where Elijah's servant looked out at the vast array of the enemy, and my, he was there with this small group in the city. The vast array of the enemy of the Syrians was out there, and fear was expressed in his heart. But Elijah prayed, and he said, "Oh, Lord, open this servant's eyes." And the servant was allowed to see beyond his vision, and he was allowed to see that which we can't see unless God opens the door. We can find this in 2 Kings 6, 16 through 17. He's talking to his servant, and he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." My, how we need to remember that in our lives. That's a belief of faith. You know, what's that old saying that says, God and you make a majority in your community? You know, God has many on the other side, as Elisha was shown. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. My, he saw only that which he could see with the physical eye, but God answered Elisha's prayer and opened up the spiritual eyes, and he saw the hosts of heaven with chariots of fire and horses. And Elisha said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. You know, there is a whole world out there that we can only access by faith. You walk in faith, you know that God's world is out there. And that faith that we have is in the Word of God. This is what tells me of that. For God gives us glimpses of that world in His Word. Now, at the time of our Lord's birth, which we have just celebrated, God allowed the shepherds to see the unseen by opening up the heavens to reveal the angelic hosts. Oh, there was glory on high to the highest. And then again, there was another opening up of the heavens' doors on the Mount of Transfiguration, where three chosen disciples were given a preview of the glories of Christ and His kingdom. Now, here in chapter 10 of the book of Daniel, heaven's doors are opened again for us to view. And in that view, we see some of the things that take place in God's greater sphere. Chapters 10 through 12, 12 being the last chapter of the book of Daniel, record Daniel's final vision and the prophecies associated with that vision. The vision is recorded in chapter 10, and chapter 11 provides us details of prophecy, while chapter 12 provides an overall view of the prophecies of the book of Daniel, with the final verses of the book devoted to comforting words given to Daniel in his final days. Daniel was an old man at this time, and he received comforting words from the Lord. Now let us read the first three verses of this chapter. Daniel 10, 1 through 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now recall the first chapter of the book of Daniel, verse 21 specifically. We were told that Daniel continued unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, this thing that it's called a thing. This vision of chapter 10 was revealed to Daniel in the third year of the king of Persia, Cyrus. So he was to serve unto the first year. This is revealed in the third year. So I believe we can assume that Daniel was in his retirement years, and most likely because of the history that takes place during these previous chapters, Daniel was in his 80s. Remember, he came to Babylon as a young man, and most likely here in this chapter, he is in his 80s. Now, we're told in Ezra the great event that took place in the first year of the reign of Cyrus. In Ezra 1:1-3, Ezra recorded this. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Remember, that 70-year period of exile has taken place. We're now in the first year of King Cyrus. This is the time when Daniel retired. The 10th chapter is in the third year, 2 years or 3 years after this event in Ezra. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Has the Lord ever stirred up your spirit? Oh, the Lord knows how to stir up your spirit. That he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." So this gives you a time frame of what is taking place in history in the third year of King Cyrus, that which is taking place in chapter 10. Now, how much that Daniel was involved in this proclamation, we can only surmise, but his retirement took place in the same year that the proclamation went forth to build the temple. Don't you suppose that he was very prominent in this edict, in this proclamation? The date of this first year is around 537 BC, 500 years or so before the birth of our Lord. So here in chapter 10, it is 2 years after the proclamation, so there has already been an exodus, a Jewish exodus from the land of their captivity. That's the setting here. A couple of years after the proclamation, there's been an exodus going back to the holy city. Now, we are told that during the 3 weeks that preceded Daniel's vision of chapter 10, Daniel was in a period of mourning, which included a self-imposed denial of bread, a self-imposed denial of flesh and wine, nor was there any anointing oil applied during this period. It was a time of mourning on Daniel's part. Now, we are not told of what concern on Daniel's part caused this period of mourning. Perhaps it was over Israel's sin, or perhaps it was over the difficulties that the Jews who had returned to Israel had encountered. It could simply have been over the fact that not many of the Jews returned to the land. Could have been that. It could have been the fact that Daniel was not with that group, that Daniel stayed behind. It could have been the news of the enemies of the Jews that were hindering the rebuilding of the city and the temple, and that could have been a concern. Or it could have been mourning over his lack of understanding of what was to come about concerning his people Israel. Wanted to know what was going on. Remember, he's had these visions of the end times. The Lord had given him the 490-year prophecy, 70 weeks of years, and all of these things occupied his mind. He had been retired for a couple of years. A lot of things were on Daniel's mind, and he occupied 3 weeks of mourning including fasting. So whatever the cause of Daniel's mourning, it resulted in a vision of a glorious personage and a visit by God's messenger. This is what resulted from this mourning. Now, this vision, we're told, contrary to the vision of chapter 8, resulted in the understanding of the thing and an understanding that the period of the vision was long. Let's read Daniel 10, 4 through 6. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked. Now he's there physically by the river. This is not a vision of the river, but he is at that river. And he sees this vision. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of upaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, the place of the vision that Daniel is given is by this river, and we know today of this river as the River Tigris. A lot of our folks know that river today. But this is the River Tigris. In the vision of chapter 8, we were told that he was transported to this river, but in this vision, he is already there physically, and we learn from verse 7 that he is there along with several others. He's come down to this river along with several others. And the Lord provides the exact date of this vision. We're told that it was the 24th of the first month, which is the Jewish month Nisan. So the 24th of Nisan, which corresponds with parts of our March and April. That's where the Jewish calendar starts in that period of time. So the vision takes place alongside the river when Daniel lifts up his eyes and he sees a personage who has the appearance of a human, but there are qualities to this personage which far exceed that which he has seen of any person on earth. This is a special person. This man is clothed in linen, and upon his waist, he has a broad belt made of pure gold. You can't get that at Walmart. This is a special belt. It girds his loins, made of fine gold. And there was an electricity about his appearance. He was electric in appearance, with a body like a precious gem beryl, his face full of light, as bright, it says, as lightning. Have you ever tried to look at lightning? My, how bright that is. And here we're told that his face was as bright as lightning, and his eyes shone as flaming torches, with arms and feet colored like polished brass. This was a vision which had never been before seen by Daniel. And his voice boomed as if it issued from many mouths. It was not just one mouth, but it came out as if it was issuing from many mouths. This is the character that Daniel sees in this vision. Now note in verse 7 that this is the vision of Daniel. This viewing of this glorious personage was the most important part of what takes place in chapters 10 through 12. Now we'll go into the prophecies of chapter 11 in coming weeks, but this is called the vision of Daniel. This personage, this viewing of this person, this opening up of the heavens to Daniel is called the vision. Now, it's not told us whether or not this man was an angel or was it a visitation of the pre-incarnate Christ, which we know as a theophany. And a theophany is defined as a visible manifestation of a deity to a human being. Now, there are theophanies that are given to us in the scriptures, and certainly this description that is given by Daniel of this vision fits the description of deity given in the first chapters of Ezekiel and Revelation. So let's go to those two chapters and look at the descriptions of deity and see if we can come to some conclusion as to who this vision is of. So we go to Ezekiel 1, 26 through 28, and we read this. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. Now remember, there's descriptions. Daniel describes this person in his way. Ezekiel describes this person in his way. So you know how witnesses are. They describe things within the framework, but you can see the similarities here. And it had brightness round about as the appearance of the bow, that would be the rainbow, that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, you'll go back to Daniel, and you'll find Daniel's reaction the same here. He falls on his face. You know, if you see God, you're going to fall on your face. You're going to fall on, I can guarantee that you're going to fall on your face if you saw this. That's the reaction of a sinner. That's a reaction of someone that has no standing before God. And in Revelation 1, 12 through 18, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, that golden surrounding the waist. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So we get the same description here in the book of Revelation as Daniel describes this personage. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Here again, the multitude of voices coming out. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength, that lightning look around his face. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. See, again, you're falling at your feet. You can't stand before this personage. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So we've given you these passages which are very similar to what takes place in chapter 10 to show us that this was a manifestation of Christ, a theophany, an appearance of Christ. Now, Daniel was called the greatly beloved of God. That goes throughout Daniel. We've come upon that in various places. Daniel was greatly beloved of God. And here he is in his final years, and he now was privy to a vision of God manifest in the vision of this glorious personage. Now, from earliest dreams and visions, Daniel had seen this personage as the stone made without hands. Remember, we met that personage early in the book. He has seen him as the one like a son of man who is given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. He knew him as the prince of princes, and in chapter 9, he knew him as the one who would be cut off, but not for himself. And now here in the third year of Cyrus, in Daniel's last days, Daniel is privileged to see the one around whom the book of Daniel is centered. The book of Daniel is centered around Christ. We've seen that over and over again. So it seems that such a glorious personage could only be the Son of God, showing himself to Daniel as he will appear in victory at the second coming. Now we continue in our study in verse 7 through 9. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. God gave Daniel this vision only to him. There were others around him, but they were not of the same mind as Daniel, and Daniel was alone in this vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. His face was in the ground. Now, this reminds us of the encounter of the Apostle Paul with our Lord on the road of Damascus, doesn't it? The same thing occurred. Paul was with a group, and Paul saw the vision. Others didn't see the vision, and they were afraid. Paul, I believe, fell to the ground. This knowledge was denied to those that were in attendance with Daniel, and they observed Daniel, and because of Daniel's response, they were in fear of what Daniel had seen. Daniel had always a comeliness of face. Daniel was always a good man to be around. You know, comeliness of face, good spirit, a person that you wanted to be around. You know, there are people that you don't want to be around, and there are people that you want to be around. You should be a person that other people want to be around. When you come into the room, they say, "Wow, so-and-so is here. Isn't that great?" Now, they may not express it that way, but in their mind, they say that. Daniel was that kind of a person. He had comeliness of face. But here we're told that that comeliness of face was turned into corruption. Daniel turned pale. Daniel turned pale, and he fell to the ground without strength, and his face was in the mud. We're told that he fell into a deep sleep, which to others most likely appeared as if he were dead. Now what happens? Well, we read of this in verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Get that picture. He's able to get on his knees. He's in his 80s. You know, sometimes if you're down on the ground and you're in your 80s, it's good to be able to get on your knees and the palms of your hands. But Daniel was able to get on his knees and the palms of his hands, and he said unto me, this person that touched him said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Again, this was applied to Daniel. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Remember, he'd been in mourning for 3 weeks. He started this day, and his prayer was heard in heaven, and this person that touched him was sent on this mission, go help Daniel. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, and yet the vision is for many days. So Daniel, as we said, an old man at this time, he's unconscious and in a horizontal position on the ground, but he is awoke by the touch of a hand. He's given strength enough to push himself up onto a position of a four-legged animal, for he sets himself up on his knees and the palm of his hands. Now, this glorious being that was clothed in linen that we have described so much, that he saw in the vision, is not this being that touches him, for this is an angelic being. The vision is over. This is now an angelic being that is touching him. This is a being who has been prevented from coming to Daniel's aid for 20 days. And he tells Daniel that he is highly regarded on earth and in heaven. And he tells also Daniel that he has come to give him the ability to understand the words that will be spoken unto him. And we see here, as is the usual case when angelic beings come about, he says, Fear not, don't be afraid, for his prayer of understanding was heard, and this angel was sent to visit him in answer to that prayer. So that's the picture, that's the setting. He's seen the vision of, I believe, of the Son of God, and this is the angelic being that now is sent to give him understanding. The angel apologizes for the delay. You ever had an angel apologize to you? He says, I was sent the first day, but I was hindered. You know, kind of like a student coming in with an excuse for homework. But this was a valid excuse. He was delayed for 21 days. And he was delayed by another angelic being called the Prince of Persia. So we see then that the first day that Daniel entered into mourning, God heard that prayer, and he sent and dispatched this angelic being immediately. But as I said, he was hindered by a character named the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia. This prince withstood the angel. He hindered the angel for 21 days from coming to the aid of Daniel. Now, this is where we start entering some unknown territory, some unknown vision into high places. For we are here witness to a battle that is being carried out in places that we are not given to see. This is a glimpse of what is taking place around us. You know, Paul told us of this battle in his epistle to the Ephesians, when we are told to put on the whole armor of God in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me read that quickly. We're running out of time. But this is what Paul said. He revealed this to us, this battle that's taking place. Finally, my brethren, 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is where that angel had been. Spiritual wickedness in high places. This helping angel was engaged in conflict with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, who opposed this angel. Michael was called, who is called an archangel in Jude. He was called upon to help this angel, and that allowed this angel to touch Daniel and revive him and give him this message. But this battle that's going on with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, you know, angels are called princes in Scripture. So we have this prince over a geographic area. Then there's another prince that is mentioned in this scripture called the Prince of Grecia. So there's an angelic being over Greece, a geographical area. Kind of opens up a little bit of what's going on in the principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. All of this is going on. The battle is going on while we live our lives on this earth. You know, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And this opens up a little bit to us. He opens the door, a crack, for us to see these principalities, the powers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places. We get little glimpses of this in the scripture, and God has given us this in chapter 10 of the book of Daniel. Father, we are so thankful that you give us a glimpse of what's taking place. Lord, we're so comfortable in our own little world, and yet the greater world, thy world, is going on, and there's a battle. And we pray, Father, we know that the battle is won by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to come about, Father, that thy kingdom will rule, and thy kingdom on this earth will be in fact. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.